Welcome to Line of Judah Online. My name's Gary Stevens. We're doing the subject today of called the Word of God, and this is part six from a six-part series. The topic we're doing today is You Can Have What You Say. This is a very important part or topic today through the Word of God. God operates on words. God created the heavens and the universe and the earth with words, and Jesus used words to defeat Satan. Words are powerful. Words are seeds. They are seeds of life or seeds of death. And God wants us to grow and understand this. Let's go to Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 26. Reading from verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God, or the God kind of faith. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain or problem, Be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for or pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you ought against any, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. The life and ministry of Jesus is our example to follow today and always. The Bible says that we are to be conformed into the image of his dear Son. Jesus always used the written word of God to defeat Satan. It is written three times in the wilderness he used that. Jesus spoke accurately, never crooked speech of doubt and unbelief. His conversation always consisted of what God said. Jesus spent much time in prayer, but he never prayed the problem, he prayed the answer, what God said in the answer or the word of God. Jesus always spoke the end results, not the problem. Never did he confess his present circumstances. He spoke the desired result. Jesus knew that if he wanted something to come into manifestation or come into a reality, he had to speak positively. He had to speak God's word in faith and call for those things that weren't quite there yet. The word of God conceived in your heart, formed by your tongue, spoken out of your mouth, it releases the creative power of God to create, establish, or remove things from your life or from the lives of others. The foundation and success of a believer's life or ministry will depend on words, what they believe in their heart and confess with their mouth. The Bible says that God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours, which they are. So God has given us his ways and his thoughts in the form of words. It's called the Bible, so we can understand how he operates, and in the form of his Son, so there can be no doubt of his ways and his thoughts. The word of God says the angels of God are waiting to serve the believer and make the word of God come into reality here on the earth. Whose words will you establish in life? That of God and his word, or that of the world and its words? The Bible actually says you will eventually have what you say. I was working with a colleague years ago in a factory, and he would always say to me, you know, I get sick once a year for the whole week with the flu. And I said to him, you shouldn't say that. And he said, why? I said, well, if you say that, you'll believe it more, and then next year you'll have it again. And so it happened. The next year he was sick with the flu for a whole week, and then he said to me, there, I told you. He was working on a godly principle that it says, what you ask or say or believe for, if you believe it with your heart, you will receive it. Whether it's negative or positive, that's the system. So my work colleague, he was confessing negative that he was going to get sick next year for a whole week. And of course, that opened up the door for sickness to come into his life, and he was sick for a whole week. He confessed what he wanted, although he didn't realize what he was doing. He confessed it. And because he confessed it long enough, he believed it. When he got sick, he believed it anymore. And the Bible says when you ask for something or pray for something, you are to believe you receive it before you actually receive it. So he was believing that he was going to get sick, and then he received getting sick. In the very beginning in Genesis, when God looked out into the darkness, God could have said, oh, it's dark out there. Had God said that, it would have been dark forever. But God looked out and saw darkness, but he did not confess what he saw. He did not confess his present circumstances. He confessed and spoke what he wanted by faith, the God kind of faith coming out of God. He said, light be, and light was or became. He confessed what he wanted. He confessed not what he has. And that's what we are to do as believers. We are to take the word of God, put it in our heart, speak it out of our mouth in faith, in belief that we have what we pray for or what we've said before we have it. It says that is the process of calling things that be not as though they were. In other words, we're saying we haven't got that yet, but I'm confessing and believing that it's going to become a reality in my life. And the idea is not to walk in doubt or unbelief, but just thank God that it's coming. When we pray the word of God and ask God for something according to his word, we are to believe we receive that immediately without the knowledge of seeing it with our eyes or with our physical senses. God says that when you pray for something, believe that you receive it before you see it. That's the Bible principle, and it's a principle that's working in the world, but in a negative sense. Now, I want to turn to a born-again believer who is sick. The believer knows that God heals, so the believer goes to the Word of God, sees the promise of God, and says, "By his stripes I am healed." And the believer says, "Lord, your Word says I'm healed, and I believe by faith in the name of Jesus that I'm healed, and I receive that healing now, and I thank you that I am healed." Now, another person looking at that person would say, "You're not healed. You're still, your nose is still running. You're still coughing. You're still sick." And the person will say, "Yes, I know I've got the symptoms, but I'm healed." And the other person who does not understand the system will say, "You're lying. You're still sick." The Bible, the Word of God, is higher than the situation. The fact is you're still sick, but the truth is you're healed. And the truth is higher than the fact. If you keep your ground, if you stand your ground and keep on believing that I am healed, there is a process of healing that takes place, and the manifestation or the healing reality will come to that person on the earth if they stand their ground long enough and do not go into doubt and unbelief. So it's possible for a believer to say, "In Jesus' name, I'm healed," and even though they still look sick, they are healed. The healing process has started, and it takes time through God and through the Holy Spirit to work into the life of that believer. So you're not lying when you say you're healed, even though you look sick. The healing process is taking part. The fact is you're sick, but the truth is you're healed. And in time, the truth will come over the fact and make the fact into the truth that you are healed. I hope you've enjoyed the subjects of God's Word, or the Word of God. It's very interesting, but it is the foundation to a believer's life. It's a foundation to the kingdom of God, all the promises of God, and everything that happens. Thank you for being with me today. I look forward to the next subject with you. God bless.